Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then the women remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But you see, these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe those women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what was happened. The Gospel of the Lord. It all began with an investigation. An investigation into what really happened. It explored interference. It questioned witnesses. And it produced results. In the end, we all received a report. In fact, we received multiple reports. But today, we'll talk about just one of those reports, the Lucan report. You see, in this report from Luke, today we get an overview of what happened. It alludes to historic happenings, and like all reports, it also presents the information with very specific emphases. You see, the Lucan report details countless unbelievable stories. Stories of a mother named Mary who raised a son named Jesus. And that mother, she taught this boy about their people's history. A history where the source of all that is, also known as God. We've got some work to do here. So the source of all that is God, there we go, a.k.a. God. And God brings down the powerful and sends them away with nothing. This source, she teaches him, pays most attention to those in need, those who are hungry and poor and vulnerable. The Lucan story goes on to tell how Jesus embraced this ideology and was almost killed in his hometown of Nazareth. But that didn't stop this 30-year-old from going on and engaging in story after story after story of turning what seems ordinary into something extraordinary. We can remember a mostly dead 12-year-old girl was restored to life. A differently abled man was healed on a day in which no work should have ever been done. A military man's beloved slave was restored to full health, and a widow's son was brought back to life to help care for and support his mother. And so after reading all of that and getting to the end of Luke's report, I don't quite understand the incident that we read in today's gospel. Okay, so let's take a quick poll. Who had heard about today's incident before I just read it a moment ago? Okay. So, I just want to be clear. So half of us came here today not knowing that Jesus rose again. I mean, if that's true, that's okay. I'm not passing judgment. But I just want to be clear. I mean, do most of it, because I'm going to change my sermon if we don't know that. Because I'm assuming you knew at least that was the general gist of what's going on today. Yeah? No? Can we try again? How many people knew? Okay, so now we're up to 80%, so just going to roll with it. Talk to your neighbor if you weren't sure about that today. Surprise! Jesus is alive in our story today. Okay, so we heard today that a group of women went to help Jesus' rotting body smell a wee bit better. It's hard to do when you don't embalm someone, but nevertheless, they tried. But after seeing where they had laid Jesus 2 days earlier, so they knew right where it was supposed to be, they couldn't find the body. Instead, they walk into a tomb, and they find two men there. And then those ladies were told to remember what Jesus said. And then the ladies, they actually remembered what Jesus said. And they remembered all of the other out-of-the-ordinary things that Jesus said and did. So what did they do? Naturally, they went to tell the disciples, but the disciples were less than receptive. In fact, they were kind of dismissive. Luke reports that to these disciples, the woman's words seemed an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now, I can just imagine this scenario. I mean, can you just imagine the disciples there rolling their eyes at the women, and with that condescending tone that only a man can give with a dash of mansplaining, saying, "Sweetie, let me tell you about how death works." Can you just feel it? But then it gets worse. Because if we translate the phrase idle tale more directly from Greek, what we discover is that the women are called crazy, nuts, full of utter nonsense. On top of that, the times that we usually hear this phrase idle tale in Greek is typically when it's a descriptor for the rantings of a person suffering from delirium. And so, even if those disciples didn't really believe the women, did they really need to be so harsh to a whole group of women reporting the exact same experience? And on top of that, we need to remember that in Luke, we discover that these women, those very women at the tomb, they had supported Jesus' ministry financially. These women were there at the crucifixion, and they watched the disposal of his corpse. It's not like they were new to the scene. These women knew Jesus' ministry, and they were trusted disciples of Jesus. So then, when the women were asked by two strange men to remember, they weren't just pulling things out of air. They could vividly remember and recall how Jesus consistently took the status quo and inverted it. And then what they did is they took that mindset of inversion and they applied it to something that we all believe is the only sure thing in life, namely death. And maybe taxes, but you know. But death is where they're applying it today. So I wonder, when the disciples heard this story, why didn't they take the women and their experience seriously. I mean, I don't really fully understand the disciples' response. But then at the same time, I completely get it. I mean, how often do we ignore or forget the long history of our God favoring the poor and the powerless and the vulnerable? How many times has God been working to do something new, but we dismiss it as an idle tale? How often do we act like those disciples, rejecting the experiences of vulnerable groups among us? I mean, how about when we dismiss women's accounts of sexual harassment as simply locker room talk? How about when we limit God's activity and leadership within the church to straight men and only straight men? How about when we tell people of color that they're overreacting and spinning idle tales when they're speaking of systemic racism and unjust power dynamics? Or how about the many direct and indirect ways that we participate in victim shaming and sexism and child abuse and heterosexism, xenophobia, racism, nationalism, ableism, and any of the many, many ways that we devalue the vulnerable, beloved children of God? But here's the thing. Resurrection happens each day that we partner with God to take that idle tale of God's impossible love, and then work with God to embrace that it is a tale of utter truth. So when we as the church finally acknowledge that the idle tale of Christianity's harmful history of colonialism and the Crusades, when we finally embrace that, we partner with God to sow the seeds of resurrection as we work towards healing. When we accept the supposed idle tale that nationalism is harmful to all of God's humanity, that is when we finally nurture the seeds of resurrection and we can care for all of humanity. When we embrace that idle tale that our political views are not the only right way, regardless of where you stand, not the only right way, then we are finally fertilizing the seeds of resurrection in our work for the good of all. And when we accept the idle tale that hunger is caused by inequity and not scarcity, then resurrection will undoubtedly bloom as we share in God's abundance. And when I think about Luke's story, who is so rooted in combating injustice, I'm so grateful that you and I are here today, because without those women's idle tale and somebody finally taking it seriously, we wouldn't be here. And you see, that's the thing about how God works. It's often in those unexpected nooks and crannies with the least likely of people. Our God will work with you and with me, or frankly, without either one of us. Because that is the powerful story of God's resurrection. Because even when all of the political might of the empire of the time and all of the popular opinion that Jesus should be crucified, and they conclusively determined that they were going to crucify an ideology of love for all people, God's vision for the world could not and will not be held back, even by the one thing that we believe to be the certain thing to shut people up, and that is death. So, there it is. I'm done. But what we're left with is the Lucan report. And the Lucan report has given us a hearty meal this morning, and we haven't even eaten our brunch yet. But the Lucan report does not ask us to binge on false news or fake news. But maybe, just maybe, the Lucan report invites us to recall God's nature, to acknowledge the divinity in all of creation, and to seek God in the unexpected. Because you see, resurrection is not just about what happened 2,000 years ago. It would be a colossal waste of our time if it was. But it's much more about the ways that we partner with God to experience that resurrection today. For when we are open to experiencing another's truth, and we hold that other person's truth in conversation with God's focus to care for all of creation, then we too might experience the eternal life found in resurrection. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.